worship the Lord because He is worthy to be praised. Lord, You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the first and You are the last. You are the beginning and You are the end, Father. You are the Lord, the author, and You are the finisher of our faith. You are the hope of everything in life and in death, Father. You are our all in all. Lord, we want to worship You this morning. We lift up Your name because You are worthy to be praised. This morning, Lord, we sing unto You. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. You are the most excellent. You are the bright and morning sun. You are the parents of 10,000. You are our protector. You are our guide. Blessed be the Lord. Can we all lift up our hands and sing for one last time? You are Alpha and You are Omega. Let us worship Him from the bottom of our hearts. Give Him the honor and praise that He deserves. From the heart, let us give Him a heartfelt worship because He alone deserves our worship this morning. Can we all sing together? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands to the Lord this morning. Every one of you. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your holy hands. Give Him the power and the grace. Thank you, Jesus. This morning we pray that You speak to us, Father. Bless us this morning, Father Lord. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team, for the wonderful worship. I praise God for this wonderful day. We have been continuing on our series of new beginnings. And this morning, we have come to the most crucial, I believe, of the new beginnings that we need to make. Because we have not been doing this for a long time. What I want to speak to you about is a new beginning in witnessing. I want you all to turn your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1,
verse number 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse number 8. The NIV version reads like this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is one of the last statements that Jesus made to the disciples, and which is recorded in the New Testament. Except the fact that he spoke to Saul, we see a statement of Jesus a couple of times when he spoke to Paul. But to the church, this is the last statement that Jesus made before he left for his heavenly abode. In the presence of everyone, he was lifted up. But before he left, the last thing that he told to the church is, Jesus gave us an awesome responsibility. Two things. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And number two, you will be my witnesses. You know, to be a witness is to tell others about the good news of salvation. We all know about it. Evangelism comes from the Greek word called euangelion, which means, you means good. Angel means a messenger of news. So we are messengers of good news, and God has given us this awesome responsibility. Evangelism means sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. Dr. Gray Allison has defined evangelism like this: evangelism is to so present Christ to people that under the leadership, conviction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they will see their need for a Savior and receive Christ as Lord and Savior and serve Him through one of His churches. This is a big definition. But let me tell you, saints of God, many times we don't understand why God created and formed the church and left the church in the earth. For 2000 years, the church has grown and established itself as an institution and as a denomination, but many times we fail to understand the purpose for which Jesus put the church on this earth. If you look at the last words that Jesus spoke, when we go to the last chapters of the Gospel of Mark and the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in Mark, Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to everyone." Mark chapter 16 verse 15. In Matthew, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Matthew 28 verses 19. And in Acts, which is concluding with what he said, "So preach the gospel, make disciples," and then said, "Be a witness of me." Many times we are Christians, we live in this world, but we are not witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a sad truth. We feel shy, we feel timid, we don't feel the necessity, we think it is not important. We go about our daily life as if we don't have anything to do. For us, church is coming to a Sunday morning or a Saturday night, listening to a sermon, worshiping God and going back. But let me tell you, with the truth of the Word of God and to the New Testament church, that the church, the primary responsibility of the church and every believer is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Witness of the gospel, a messenger of the good news. That is what Jesus has placed us in this world. And so I want to provoke you, I want to inspire you and challenge you that you need to be a witness wherever God has placed you. Now, when we study, I'm going to ask like three questions and I'm going to answer it myself. I want, if you want to take notes, you can do that, but it's a wonderful short study about being a witness, a new beginning in witnessing. Number one, the question is how? How can you be a witness? The Word of God is very clear. It says that we would be a witness when we utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't become a witness just by ourselves, but we need to utilize the power that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, the word power in Greek is called dynamo. That comes as evolved as dynamite. We receive explosive power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you a simple example. We all have cars that we drive. This car can travel in a lot of speed. This car can go to many places. This car can carry a lot of burdens. That is why this car has been created, to take you from point A to point B. Now, imagine this car is in your garage. Every day you go, you turn on the key, you press the accelerator and you see the power of the car. But you don't take it out of the garage. The car is in the garage. Let me ask you this. Is the car doing its work? No. The car will do its work when it will go or take people or take burden or go from one place to the other. This is how it is when God gives us the power. God has given us or willing to give us a great power, but we need to take that power within ourselves and go to where He wants us to go and be witnesses of Him before other people. This coming weekend we are going to the NACOG conference. I know many of you are thrilled to go there. The theme of the conference is the power of Pentecost. We are going to discuss and hear about messages on the power of Pentecost. My question is, what are we going to do with the power of Pentecost? What are we going to do with the power that God is putting upon us? Many times we come, we sit, we get the power, we get filled in the Holy Spirit, we speak in other tongues, we are empowered, but we don't do anything beyond that. We go back home, come back for the next day. But let me tell you of a truth, what God wants in our lives is that we need to receive the power and go and be witnesses. How can we be witnesses? The Holy Spirit is the one who will help us to become a witness. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us so that we can be used by God. The Holy Spirit confirms us. He fills us that we can be used by God. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, we read that after they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldly. They spoke the word of God with boldness. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you the courage to go and speak about Jesus to other people. You know what it is written here? They were praying to God and God filled them with the Holy Spirit. They went and they spoke. And that is what God requires from us. They were praying and they were waiting and they got filled. They became witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, Jesus said, first you wait. While they were waiting, they prayed. In verse number 14, it says they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. And when they were praying, the Lord filled them with the power. So number one, the Holy Spirit empowers you to become boldly to speak the gospel. Number two, the role of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will convict the lost sinner about their need for salvation. In John chapter 16 verse 8, Jesus Christ spoke about the Holy Spirit like this. When He, the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. Three things. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner about his sin. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner about God's righteousness. And the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner about a judgment if they are not becoming righteous as God demands from them. One day God is going to judge everyone on this world. If you reject the righteousness of God, you are coming under judgment. And so that is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. And the third thing is that the Holy Spirit converts the lost person. You know, the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts when you are becoming a witness, when you share about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that converts the sinner and helps him or her to come to the Lord. So that is the first question that I answered, is how can you be a witness? The second question that I want to speak about is, what will you be a witness about? We need to emphasize the person of Jesus Christ. When you go out to become a witness, you need to speak about Jesus and what He has done for you. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, we see that Philip was witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says here like this: then Philip began with that very message of the scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. You know, when Philip opened his mouth, he spoke to him, the eunuch, about Jesus, and that was a gospel presentation. We need to open our mouth and speak to others about Jesus. What is the good news about Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3 and 4 says, Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, He has gone and is offering a free gift of salvation for us. That is what we have to speak about. Then, what is a witness? A witness is a legal term. A witness is someone who testifies about a fact or an event. So, when you are going to a court of law, you are called to be a witness. You tell everyone what you know, what you saw, and what you experienced. This is what Jesus wants from our lives. That when you go to an unbeliever, you would say what Jesus has done for you, how He changed your life, and how He is there to do the same for them also. That is what we are speaking about, the truth about Jesus Christ. And that is what the Holy Spirit can really help you. This year, early in this year, I went to India, as many of you know, on a mission trip. And I witnessed to a lot of people. And every time when I would witness, I used a tool that I got from, it's called the Four Spiritual Laws. I don't know how many of you know about this. And using this simple tool, I witnessed to a lot of people, and they came to the Lord when they understood that God has a plan for them and God wants to have an intimacy with people. Maybe you should take a tool like this to witness. Maybe you can witness about your own testimony. Maybe you can speak a few words about Jesus. You don't need to be eloquent in speaking, but let me tell you, God wants each and every one of you, wherever you go, God wants you to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is where what God wants us to do. And that is what the answer is for what. The third question is where? Where can be a witness? For that we need to go back to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And we need to witness according to the pattern that Jesus has told us. Jesus spoke about four places. He said, beginning with Jerusalem, go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Now, Jerusalem was a place where the disciples were residing. And for us, Jerusalem is a group of people that we are closest to. Maybe our family members. Maybe our classmates, maybe our co-workers, maybe people, our neighbors, people that we are contact, they are our Jerusalem. We should start our witness from our Jerusalem. We should tell, if you know somebody is not born again, we have the responsibility to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Acts 20:20 says they witnessed from house to house. They were witnessing to their family members in the first century. We are also supposed to do the same. If you have a family member, a relative, a friend, a classmate, a neighbor who is not knowing Jesus, we have the responsibility to witness to our Jerusalem. Then comes the Judea. Judea is the area that is surrounding next to it. It is a local area. It is the missions. That's where the next our witness comes to. Third is Samaria, where you have to cross over cultural barriers. We as Indians, we go and witness to people from Caribbean ascent or Hispanics or different cultural divide. We need to cross over and be a witness to them. And finally, we need to go to the uttermost parts. Go to other states, go to other countries, go to South America, India, wherever it, go for a mission trip, share the gospel. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today very truly, we have everything within us, but one thing we lack. We are not witnesses about the gospel. God has given us a truth that we bear in our hearts, and we are not willing to share with people that we know and meet every day. And for them, one day remember that God will hold us accountable. When God will say, I brought this person into your life and you never spoke about the gospel, I am telling you a truth standing here. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, God is going to ask you for the soul of that person. When he goes to eternal hell and fire, God will ask you, why didn't you speak one word about me to them? And that day we need to give an account to God. And I'm telling you on the truth of the gospel. So that is the way that we have to witness. And that is a pattern that Jesus told us. Start where you are. Branch out to local areas. Then cross racial and cultural barriers. And then go to the ends of the world. Yeah, I will close with this one thing. You know, in John chapter 4, when Jesus went to Samaria, he crossed over the cultural barriers. He spoke to that Samaritan woman at the well. There are 6 things that we can study about Jesus talking to that woman. Number one, he opened with a casual conversation. Number two, he overlooked the initial resistance. They will resist you, but you need to overlook that. Number three, he appealed to her spiritual hunger. That is what we need to do. We need to understand that they are all hungry for the word of God and appeal to that hunger. Number four, you have to deal with the seriousness of the sin. Everyone is a sinner. We need to tell them that sinners, they are lost without God and they are going to hell. The fifth is, you should avoid any kind of arguments. Don't argue with people. We all have different ways of thinking. Don't argue about the religious argument. Jesus did not argue with the woman, and that's what we need to do. Finally, we need to focus our attention on Jesus. You know, let me tell you, God, this is the greatest commandment that God has given us in our church, is to become a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to look into your own life and say, am I a witness? Am I telling others about what Jesus has done for me? Am I sharing the story of Jesus who came to this world and who died, who saved my soul? He made me a family of God. We are all sitting and clapping and enjoying the presence of God. Think about people whom we know who are every day going to darkness. They are heading towards eternal death. They are going to the hellfire. God will have us ask one day, because we are even ignoring our Jerusalem, letting alone Judea and Samaria and the ends of the world. Don't be satisfied with the life that you are continuing to live like this, because this life will soon be over. Every day that is going away from our life, we cannot get it back. We are losing time as we are moving forward. We all think, okay, tomorrow I will do it. That tomorrow will never come. We need to start. We need to begin with witnessing. Dear brothers, sisters, young people, children, God has given us a story. We need to be a messenger of that truth, about that story. Every person that we meet, we need to know that the person is lost and going to hell. Let me close with a personal story, because I think that will relate to you. Back in 2001, I didn't have a job. And at that time, I got hooked to a multi-level marketing called Equinox. I was part of it. And we wanted to make some money because we had to live every day. I didn't have a steady job, so I got into this multi-level marketing called Equinox Products. And during one of the days, I traveled to Charlotte. in North Carolina to go for a meeting that they hold to, you know, give you the pumping you up for doing the work. So you are building up five people under you and they are building five people. You know how it works. So I went to that conference in Charlotte. I was sitting among the audience when the speaker, he called like eight people. He said, "You come to the stage." So they all stood up. And to each of them, he gave a dollar. He gave a dollar to each one of them and he said, "You know what? This is what I want you to do. Hold the dollar to your forehead." So all the eight people held the dollar on the forehead. And then he told, "When you look at that person, what do you see?" He asked the people. They said, "We can see the dollar." And he said, "This is exactly what I need to do. Whenever you meet somebody, know that this is representing the money that you can make out of that person if you have them under you, under your business." While I was sitting in that audience, the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And he said, "When you look at a person, what do you see in that person? Do you see him as just a friend? Or will God change your perspective? Can you see that person as somebody who is lost, who is not a child of God, who is going to darkness because he has not trusted God? Can you see that person?" The Holy Spirit put in my heart and said, "Whenever you look at anybody, how do you see that person? Do you only see the superficial, or do you see the God's plan for that person in his life or her life?" I am telling you, brothers and sisters, we have the knowledge. God has given us the gospel in our heart. We are not to be like a lake that is holding fast everything. We have to be like a stream of water that is giving out the message of the gospel. Today, I want to challenge you. Don't just get the power. Many of us are so interested in sitting and fasting and praying and getting the power and getting shaken up and speaking in other tongues and doing something within the church. What God wants you is go outside to where the lost people are and speak to them about the love of God. Because God so loved the world. He didn't love only Christians. He loved the world that He gave His life for us. Can you close your eyes for a minute? This morning I want you to make a decision. "Lord, I am going to be a witness for you. Every day is passing away from my life and there is nothing more I can do. Lord, I want to be a witness." Where can you make a decision tonight? "Lord, I will start. I want to start with witnessing." Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us that we heard your word. I pray that help us to be witnessers of your gospel. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us this morning. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.